Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddham dhammam sangham namassami. I'm waiting for the day where I can have a sense of joy to come and have an opportunity to share the Dhamma with you. It's not quite arising yet in my heart. I always have a sense of mudita for the monks and the nuns who really enjoy it and have a sense of gratitude to come and sit in this chair. And I know it's a beautiful thing to do. I understand it intellectually, that it's a wonderful thing to do. But it's not yet totally integrated in my whole beings. So I'm waiting with a lot of patience and endurance that moment. So one of the our discipline here, what the Buddha was saying for the monks and nuns who take this ordination, this training, is one of the quality to have and to develop as a virtue is patience and endurance, honesty. And it's like now, I think 17 Vasa, and I'm here in England. And I always feel that as a beginner, really. And I have a sense of concern to misguided people, to make not be clear enough, to clear enough to speak about my own understanding about the Dhamma. And this time for us as a Sangha is the time of the Vasa, is this time of studying Dhamma Vinaya. And usually it's something, I don't know about the monks, but for the nuns, they said, oh, there's some kind of a resistance to it. It's not always easier to understand the Vinaya because there is a lot of rules. And actually, it's quite worrisome sometimes because how we can keep all these rules. And I was reading that Ajahn Chah was saying he went to see Ajahn Mun, a great teacher, because himself was getting very confused and a lot of doubt arising about the Dhamma Vinaya, about rules, how to keep these rules. And it's so profound and refined. It's so many, many, many rules. So he went to ask that question to Ajahn Mun, and he said, well, it is true, there is a lot of rules, and it is difficult. But what is most important is to be ashamed or to be afraid. To have a fear of wrongdoing. If we know that we are afraid of wrongdoing, then everything will be fine. We'll be able not to keep the rules. And I was contemplating that right in the beginning was our anagarika, because as an agarika, my English was not very good, and I could not understand very well the teaching, the Dhamma Vinaya. And Ajahn Sushito is our Mother Superior. And we have a class with him, and we go on and on and on and on in a very detailed way. And of course, I will be lost in it. But one thing I was thinking is, why all these rules? You know, for what? Because I was feeling that I know actually when I'm doing something wrong. I have a feeling I know it. Because I feel in my heart, if I'm doing something that I can't, I feel a sense of shame, or if I can't do in front of my brother or sister, if I say something or doing something, that I have to hide myself, then there is a feeling of wrongdoing. The way I speak, if I'm gossiping or if it's something not kind about talking about someone else, straight away in my heart I feel it. And so then I realize that there is different level of understanding of Vinaya. And sometimes it's not easy to understand straight away. So it's a state of ignorance. We think we know, and actually we don't know. And it's by exploring, really, by really reading it and study the Dhamma Vinaya, and exploring that with our brother and sister, then we improve ourselves, our understanding, right understanding about it. So from the beginning of, you know, be 19 years ago, and now my understanding changed a lot. And I can see the necessity of these rules, this Dhamma Vinaya, because it's helping us to develop sati, mindfulness, to become aware who we are, a sense of self, and discovering our attachment, beliefs. It's all breaking down all these beliefs, wrong belief, wrong understanding about what life is, who we are, what is our relationship, and what we have to give, to bring to the world. So I will say that from 90 years, I'm not the same person. I think I changed a little bit. And so a few days ago, we did 2 days of Dhamma Vinaya study, and Sister Mehta gave an instruction, and it was quite interesting because right in the beginning, she asked us to write down a few words, and she said, just write very, without thinking about it, what you feel like when you hear this word, discipline, write down what that mean for you in a few words. And then she said, when you heard the rule, the word rules, what that mean for you? And then she said renunciation. And then she said liberation. And I found that quite interesting. So on top of my head now, I'm going to speak about that. when I heard the discipline, it's something that by nature I'm quite disciplined, and I like discipline because I know that through my childhood I have a very disciplined life, and I know it brings some sense of strength and contentment actually. If I do something, you succeed. People who succeed in their life, in the worldly sense, and also in the monastic life, actually because they put a lot of effort into it, because they discipline themselves. And for us, discipline is, of course, the main thing is through meditation, is to discipline the mind, to understand how to use the mind. The mind is fine. And when we talk about disciplining the mind, it's the content of the mind, what is in the mind. There is many stories we create, and we believe in it. And it's disciplining the mind is to come back to the sense of reality here and now, to develop sati, awareness, mindfulness. To discipline the mind, we have to sit. So we make a commitment to sit for 1 hour every day, morning and evening. And through the day, if we have a time, if we are not occupied by duties, we make that often, I do afternoon, you know, make a commitment, a discipline to sit 1 hour afternoon in my kuti. And we take different disciplines, like doing some exercise, yoga, or discipline to study. We make a discipline every day. But it's not a sense of bringing a sense of competition, wanting to be the best nun or the best monk, but in a sense of, I'm doing it because first, this is the best thing I can do for myself, something I value the most, sense of self-integrity, self-love arising. This is the best thing I can do. It's going to bring a sense of strength in the heart. It brings the mind much stronger, so I can relate to life much better with a sense of strength and understanding. And when we do something through this discipline, we succeed. So it's a sense of contentment. That's one of the sense of nourishing our heart, developing that virtue of patience and endurance. Because it does require many, many hours and days and months and years. And the right effort in the Eightfold Path is this understanding that if I make an effort, if I discipline the mind, if I discipline myself, then I will free my heart. I will not be overwhelmed by emotion, desire. I will be able to be patient with my attachment, which the condition around me which can be very challenging and difficult. And all of us, we can, especially in monastic life, we are taking a very high training, and it's very challenging, especially to live with people we particularly not choose. So for me, when I heard the word, I hear the word discipline, it's not something, it's quite, it doesn't bring some, it brings flexibility, not something rigid, because sometimes we can be very rigid to ourselves and set up a sense of discipline which is too high. It's beyond our limitation. I mean, we have some limitation and we are pushing too far. And then we become very tight and demanding and quite irritable, and we expect everyone to do what we are doing. If I get up every morning, 2 o'clock, and some nuns getting up just 10 to 5, I will get irritated because I will expect them to do like me. And that is, will not be a good discipline, because we do for oneself. Because we understand that is the best thing we can do for oneself, but we can't impose to those people. Discipline is a choice. And when we come here, that's what we have to understand. Often people complain, oh, this is very tough life, you know, get up every morning. But it's a choice, you choose it. Not to forget that. It is a choice of your heart. Because this is an act of love, this is what you want to do, this is the best thing you want to do for yourself. So from my own attitude of life, if I could lead the community, for example, and Vajra will tell me, okay, for 1 month I'll let you to lead us, then are we really push to quite an extreme? Because I like to explore what is my limitation. So we said, well, just not sleep for 1 week. We just sit together day and night, just exploring that. You know, what happens when we go beyond it a bit? instead of going to a routine. I like to explore. I'm curious about to find to experiment new thing. To see who am I on that relationship with experience. So discipline, when it's a right understanding, is not something hard. It's just challenging, as we said, but not hard. It's not rigid attitude with the mind. But there is something of enthusiasm into it. I always have a lot of enthusiasm when I remember Lomposomede, the first few years in a winter retreat, people was dreading to get up 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was looking for it. Or to do walking meditation, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning in the snow, in a field, I just love it. 1 hour walking, freezing nose, freezing lips, and freezing feet. But it does something beautiful, I find it, on that moment, to do that. It was very inspiring. Stimulate, bring a good energy in the body-mind, knowing that we're doing something very good, bringing peace in our heart, bringing connecting with the stillness, with nature. It was very still, and connecting with the stillness. Then when I heard the word rules. So my first reaction was break them. That's the first word that came up. I write down on the paper, break it, because I don't like rules. I find it's just for people are ignorant. So then, of course, I softening and go back to my heart as well. There is a convention rule that's very important and very good. Very good in the sense to live in a sense of harmony, concord. It'd be crazy if everyone here in the community would decide to have a breakfast in different time in the morning or meal. It'd be very difficult, or the cleaning up in the morning, if everyone decides to do a 10 o'clock evening to clear up the bathroom and the kitchen. So some rules are very important on that level to maintain a sense of harmony. Keeping precepts are very important. You know, that harmless, we're not going to hurt anybody physically or emotionally, also not abusing each other, shouting to each other. There is some rules of respect. And so in the Dhamma Vinaya, there is a lot of rules. And to develop that sati, mindfulness, awareness, in how we relate to this body-mind and to the world. So rules is not just the tools. That's what we have to be very careful, again. It's not bringing rigidity in your life. And you can see that in the beginning, as a beginner, for monks and nuns, often we become very tight because we worry a lot about rules, breaking rules. We have a lot of doubt about it. And again, it's kind of come back to that sense of feeling in your heart. If you do something not quite right, wrongdoing bring a sense of shame and fear. So it's good to have a sense of fear, not to break the rules. And but to reflect into it, not because doubt doesn't bring anything in your life. You know, skeptical doubt. You just worry a lot but there's no insight into it. It's reflecting, really. Is it a wrongdoing? What is the feeling in your heart? And if you do break it, you know, you just confess it and start again. And some people can go on and on for very small rules, like patches in your robes. And so we go on and on about, so they have a piece of material in their room, and it's more than 10 days, and then so we go on and on about it because they kept it and they forget it. I mean, it's nothing as a rule. You know, wash your mind, I always said, you know, come on. And that is where we become obsessed with the role. That is wrong understanding. And sometimes in life it's like that. You know, about the food, the way we look at the food, you know, we can become very difficult. Or so we are to walk, you know, we can say, oh, this nun is walking this way, she's not very keeping her behave very well. So rules is something to reflect on and to bring mindfulness and right understanding how I'm using what is offered to me, living with, you know, from nuns and monks mendicancy, the food is offered every day, the robes are 5 robes, the lodging, and the medicine, the 4 requisites. And through our rules, we really contemplate how we relate to that. So when if I'm doing something, if I want to do something and I feel in my heart it's not quite right, just bring in, if the Buddha will be sitting next to me that here, do I say it or do I do it? And if you hear your voice inside you say no, then don't do it or don't say it. I don't like the word rules. I know for many, many years I battled with it because I felt it can be misused. And I was afraid of that. You know, when you enter to the Sangha, you take this high ordination, you make a commitment. And you're afraid. I used to have a fear to be misused through the teacher. You know, taking so high roles, you it's quite somewhere. It's scary because you feel like you are not in control. It's like entering like an institution. So it's very important to bring it the Dhamma into it, exploring right views, right understanding about the roles, because otherwise there will be no. Any happiness in our life as a monk and nuns if we see the role our life. I don't see the role on my life. I see my life free from rules. When I have a sense of understanding, then freedom arrives in my heart because there is no wrongdoing. So in understanding the rule, we have to contemplate, for some monks and nuns, is contemplating a lot about doubt, investigating why doubt arises, or fear. So really, the positive side really brings some sense of understanding as a tool to waking up, to be mindful and awake, in our relationship with this body mind, treating this body with care, training the mind to purify the mind from the wrong understanding, the content of the mind be purified, and be able to use the mind in a beautiful way to create harmony and beauty and kindness and respect for everything is offered to us, not taking for granted what is given to us, just the space we are living here. So Rules is creating beauty when it's right understanding. Then the word renunciation, this is a word I like it. I love renunciation. I straight away think about simplicity. Everything becomes easier. Nothing to think about it. Nothing to worry. Very far from complexity. Be content with little. And in that, so when I came, I was very delighted when I came here on NT85 because everything, we have a very little. And I rejoice on that. I said, oh, that is a great, this is really monastic life. This is the way I wanted to live, with little. Everything was very, because we just entered to a place where everything was broken, no heater, very little food, no cup of tea when you want it, no chocolate, no cheese. And but there is something very inspiring in all of that. The community was very strong and very young, and we were all here to, it was all, for most of us, it was very new. And as a beginner, of course, we have a lot of energy to put into this place to make it possible to live in, to make it beautiful, to also to welcome lay people here. So for myself, it was I was very inspired to come to that because I wanted to be not to have nothing really, to experience that, what it feels to be cold, but in a very intensive way. Not to have a choice. When I want to have a drink, I can't have a hot drink. And it was something very inspiring on that, not have a sweet when I want it. Something I was looking for, and I really enjoy that. I was not afraid of. I was looking for more. And renunciation for me was bringing close to connect with life, with real life, with nature, with the nature of this body and mind, to understand it better. This body made of four elements. And everything outside is made of four elements. Relating to that, understanding it. Getting old and getting sick. Tired, exhausted. And maybe one day we died. When I was in Agarica, I got very sick. And I went to hospital and I was dying. And I was happy to die. I wanted to die. I didn't mind. I didn't mind. I wanted to go actually. I was quite fed up about life. I said, there is nothing into it really. It's not something I wanted. I was not fighting for life. And I was very surprised because I was very peaceful in hospital. And then I decided to, if I have to die, because doctor could not find what was going wrong. They did something wrong when they have a surgery, but I could not pick up life anymore. So after 2 weeks in hospital, I decided to leave the hospital. I didn't want to stay there anymore. So I requested to leave the hospital. I said, I want to die in a monastery. So I came here. And I thought I'm going to die. And I didn't. Every day I was picking up life again. And that state of illness, we are very, very sensitive, very awake actually. The mind is very bright. And you can see the reality of life better. So the window of your eyes are not clouded. You can see people the way they are and who you are yourself. And a great sense of gratitude for my life actually come up. Sense of gratitude for what I receive. I didn't have an easy life, but still what was in my heart, sense of gratitude, because I met the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. And I understand what renunciation is. It's not for looking for pleasure or comfort, because that is what society does, teach for us. If you get beautiful swimming pool or wonderful car or whatever, or beautiful girl or boy, then you're going to be happier. And for us here, renunciation for me is to restrain from a sense of pleasure. That's renunciation. And find something which is beyond this body, mind. Something in us, this Buddha nature. And that was what I want. I want nothing else. When I was in a state of dying, I didn't want nothing else. I want to know. I want to feel this Buddha nature in myself. I didn't want nothing else. There's nothing in the world I wanted. And I was ready to give my life for it. So for me, renunciation is also a word of inspiring word and looking for, to be challenged by it. Like when I went in India, I went alone. And I want to know, after so many years of training here in the monastery, I wanted to know, who am I if I have no support alone in India? What will happen? Where are my rules? What are my understanding is? What I... what are integrated after so many years. Because there is a sense of security to be in a monastery in many ways, because we know that every day we're going to be fed. There is some novice here, some lay people who care about monks and nuns. They care very well. And something I was looking for, really. And so it was like quite inspiring to just leave Thailand and go to India. I was quite happy. And the first week it was okay because I was meeting someone, a friend in Delhi, and then she sent me to Bodh Gaya, and then it was fine. People was feeding me, not every day, but a few days. And then I was a few days without food, and then I was meditating in Bodh Gaya. just I was meditating in the morning early, and Ajahn Brahm once, and Ajahn Vayama arrived with a group of people from Australia, and I was very surprised, and they said, well, come with us for a few days, we're going to feed you. And I was just on the edge of fainting. And I did actually, after a few hours, I just faint because I didn't have much in my stomach for a while. So they care about me for 3 days. And then I carry on. I said bye-bye to them. I said, thank you very much. It was lovely. And I carry on my way. And I went to Dharamsala. Someone I was sending for to Dharamsala. And there, again, I was not able to get food every day. So I got very, very sick. And there was many, I don't know, many hundred and hundred monks and nuns meditating there, listening to His Holiness Dalai Lama teaching, and I was laid down very sick like a dog. And I was laid down on a concrete, you know, and very sick. And I said, okay, I'm going to die. High fever and coughing and vomiting. And one of the men saw me that, and he gave me a sleeping bag. He said, please lay down on my sleeping bag. And I was just, you know, touched if I could move. So I lay down the best I can to his sleeping bag. Then one of the nuns passed by, she saw me, and she came, she said, I'm going to take to my place, and I'm going to care about you. And she did. I stayed with her for 1 week, and it was, she really cared very well. She offered me her bed. She had no bed. She had only one room. She offered me her bed. And she cooked for me wonderful vegetable and fruit, and she brought me to the doctor. And she was sleeping in a tent in her garden. It was very cold. But she really wanted me to be well and strong again. And I was very, very touched. It really touched me deeply. And I contemplate this level of renunciation when you let go and you go on trust. Things happen. You are tested. We are always tested for a while. But if we keep trusting and have faith, and be ready to let go, then things change. We can change. I could die or something happened. Someone came and came to save me. And she has the kindness and to bring me to, said, well, do you want to go? And I said, well, I want to go to another place, to an ashram. And I went. That level of renunciation for me is very inspiring because he showed me what I learned here by keeping the Dhamma Vinaya rules and the training I received here. I was very happy about myself, very content that I could integrate the teaching, the sense of freedom rising. And the last word Sister Mehta was asking is about liberation. And that is what renunciation brings to you, to us. When we are able to detach, when we understand that this body mind is not ours, it's not me, it's not mine. The world, or the object, it's not me, it's not mine. So bring a sense of contentment, ease, joy, spontaneity, creativity, love, sense of compassion when we understand the suffering. Because taking that kind of training we do here is not easy. It's not like a piece of cake, I would say. You know, it does require a lot. Effort and patience and endurance. But on the way, you always bring some results. And we do, when we start to meditate, we feel that sense of change in ourselves. Less fear, less anxiety, less anger, less confusion. So liberation is a sense of sense of well-being, manifesting through that right understanding about life. And sharing with that understanding with all beings, sense of light, sense of ease. bring you a sense of the flexibility of the mind when you understand the Dhamma, something we rejoice. We don't need anything, any excitement from outside, but have a sense of pity, sweet joys in our heart, be content with little, not expecting anything. There is no expectation about life or the monks or nuns. If they smile to you, fine, this is a gift. But if they don't smile to you, that is okay. There is nothing to worry about it or to complain. But because we understand the suffering, we can relate to the suffering we are not afraid of. We can receive the suffering of those people when they have anger or fear or anxiety. We are able to be with that, to receive it without reacting to them. But help them by receiving it, help the monks and nuns and lay people to relax by not reacting to it. This is something, freedom is something, liberation is something by little bit we all of us experience, and we grow and become integrated in one sometime, or maybe now, right now. You'll be always with you, a sense of ease, fearlessness. When someone asked me why I came here, to take this life, this training. And I said, because I want to be free from fear. I want to incarnate fearlessness in this lifetime. Oh, fear. She responded to me like, oh, I don't have much fear. And I said to her, how lucky you are, because I'm always full of fear. So I always said that fear for me, I could see years after years how that diminished. When the state of ignorance, you know, is purified, the content of the mind is purified. When you understand what is the sense of me, sense of self. And we purify the mind by understanding the five hindrances that take us to total liberation. Desire, ill will, restlessness, sloppy torpor, and sceptical doubt. So when we said, why I'm so ignorant? It's because we are taking the wrong food. We are feeding ourselves in the wrong way. We are feeding ourselves with desire, with ill will, with restlessness, sloping torpor, and sceptical doubt. It's exploring that we can liberate ourselves. So liberation is when we are totally free from desire. When there is no desire, the mind doesn't move. Come to the stillness, the point of stillness. It doesn't mean we are not doing anything anymore. We are more active. We are giving more to the world. But there is stillness in the mind. There is no doer. And that we are free from sceptical doubt. There is no doubt. We are totally trust on this Buddha Dhamma Sangha, where we're taking refuge moment by moment, taking refuge to the truth, ultimate truth. And sharing this brings a lot of joy, because our life as human beings is to live with people, it's not to live alone. We grow together and we share the beauty of our heart. This is the most beautiful thing we can do, to offer to the world, to bring peace in the world and beauty. So I would say that to study this Dhamma Vinaya and to take this training is a great benefit to myself, and I've no doubt to all people who take it. It's not wasting your time. I didn't waste my time. I don't have a sense of regret, really. And if I have to do again my life, I would do the same thing. I will start again, but much earlier, I guess. I will not wait 35 years old to start. I will start much earlier. So I really encourage you not to waste your time, you know, to make a lot of effort to understand the Dhamma Vinaya, and for lay people to contemplate really the five hindrances and keeping the precept that create a concord and harmony and beauty in life and peace and stillness in your mind. So, I think maybe I'm going to stop now. I wish you well. Thank you for listening. And I think tonight we're going to meet it until midnight. So I wish you to have the right attitude, the right effort, and the joy to discipline the mind. And may you get enlightenment tonight.